First head fact of the day. Five days until the first ever annual glass ceiling convention, GlassCon 2021. That's our hashtag on Twitter. It's an all online conference this year, and our theme is challenging the system, how women can take political power. I always say that women are half the population, right? And so we should have half the political positions. It hasn't happened yet because of obstacles. And so on March 7th, we're going to be talking about practical steps and strategies for dismantling those obstacles. I have a great panel of Nigerian women who have walked the talk. Nnenna Elendu Keje was elected to the House of Reps 3 times. Rinsala Abiola is an organizer, grassroots organizer for the APC, comes from a strong historical political family here in Lagos. Kate Hensha ran for office. Ndikato has run for office. And Cynthia Mbamalu works with INEC all the time, monitors elections, knows how these things work. So these women are not just here to come and speak grammar. They're actually here to come and give you expo about how we can get it done, right? I already told you that our keynote speaker, Nse Ufot, did big things in Georgia during the last US election cycle. So she's going to be telling us how her group registered 500,000 voters, helped fight voter suppression, and it will be amazing. I can't talk about this without talking about the Canadian High Commission, who has helped us put this together, as well as the UK High Commission and the US Consulate General and many other partners who have joined in. In fact, more partnership requests keep coming in, and so we're excited about that. More of you keep signing off to attend. We have almost 500 people who have signed up to attend this event, and I love it. It's completely online. We're going to stream on Facebook, we're going to stream on YouTube, and we're also going to carry it live on Nigeria Info on Sunday, 4 p.m. That's the time of the event. You can still sign up if you want to attend. www.nigeriainfo.fm. www.nigeriainfo.fm. Go there, sign up. It's very easy to do. Second hard fact of the day, 360 confirmed COVID cases yesterday. It's less than last week, Tuesday, where we saw more than 500, but it's still a big number. And, you know, out of those 360, 121 are here in Lagos. So that's 1 in 3. So again, I'm appealing to you, I beg, keep taking your precautions. Chinonya said I'm always shouting every day. It's true, I'm always shouting every day. Let me shout again. Limit your movement. And when you must go out to work or to buy essentials, you have to wear a mask and keep your distance from everybody. Wash and sanitize your hands as often as possible. All right then, let's talk. I have a great show for you today. Let's talk about Nigeria's rollout of COVID vaccines. Then let's talk about the attempt to blockade food from the north coming south. And then let's talk about the release of the kidnapped Jangibe girls. Those are the biggest stories of today. And that's what we try to take a look at on The Big Three every day. It's Tuesday, so you can watch us live. Actually, you can watch us live every day. But yeah, you can watch us live on Facebook and YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 for Facebook, Nigeria Info FM for YouTube. Community U Report, Chukwudi will be out in the field today bringing you a live report. I'm looking forward to that particular one. And on The Big Hard Fact, let's talk about concessions. We told you how the federal government is planning to concession 12 highways, TBS, trade fair, some other assets, so that private firms can run them efficiently. So we're going to look at how this arrangement works in some detail. And Ajirin Gilali will join me. He's the president's SSA on public affairs. And news updates will come your way at the top of every hour. And conversations with Rufai will take the air after I'm done at 6. You need to listen to every minute if you want to be our winner on Just a Minute. And with that said, let's bring you today's Big Three Lagos. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
This is The Big Three.
The Big Three
on Hard Facts. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Has Have you signed up to get the COVID vaccine? I have. Who would a North-South food blockade impact the most? And how do we prevent future jangibes? Those are the big three, Lagos. Let's talk. Vaccine, oh, yo, yo. Vaccine, oh, yo, yo. Vaccine, oh, yo, yo. Yes, Nigeria finally received our first batch of COVID-19 vaccines today. 3.9 million doses were flown in. And these are all from the COVAX program. And now they have vaccines in hand. Now that they do that, the government is officially launching its vaccination program. The agency in charge is the NPHCDA, the National Public Healthcare Development Agency. Yesterday, they launched a website where everyone can go and register to get the shot. You sign up, you book your preferred day, and you do the same. You sign up, book your preferred day, your preferred time, your preferred location. So all of that. I signed myself up. I signed my husband up, signed my mother-in-law up. So many people I know, I just was signing everybody up to go get it. So if you've signed up, let me know. Have you signed up? Will you be signing up? Why won't you be signing up if you're not going to be signing up? The website to sign up on is www.nphcdaict.com. Let me take that again. www.nphcdaict.com.ng/publicreg. www.nphcdaict.com.ng/publicreg. Reg as in R-E-G. Mm-hmm. That's where you sign up. I've signed up and I'm excited. Now, these 3.9 million doses are just the beginning. The country is expecting about 12 million more from COVAX throughout the year to make a total of about 16 million. Obviously, that's not going to be enough for everybody. The government says it is planning to get vaccines from other sources, and their target is to vaccinate enough people to achieve herd immunity over a 2-year period. But right now, what we have are these almost 4 million doses. Government is giving priority to some groups. We heard from Dr. Loring Bemamara, the Minister of State for Health, and he said that the first will be the frontline health workers because they are facing the battle heavily. They will come first. Then secondly, we'll look at the elderly, those above 60, 65 years, and particularly with comorbidities, people who have existing health conditions such as high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease. They'll also be in that group. We'll be looking at, we will be looking also at the strategic leadership of the country. And then we'll be looking at some other people, like those at the point of entry, post-border managers, and things like that. This will be the order in terms of priority for now, end quote. So that's a quote from the Minister of State for Health. Now, since I'm the head of strategic partnerships for Nigeria Info, do I qualify as a strategic leader? Since I'm also your president on this show, do I qualify as a strategic leader? I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to have a conversation with government people and see how far, you know. But yeah, so frontline workers first, then the old people, then the leaders, then people that interface with international travelers, and then those of us who are signing up online. What do you think about this list? What do you think about this priority list? Have you signed up? Don't forget to tell me. Have you signed up? If you haven't signed up, why haven't you signed up? How do you feel now that vaccines are beginning to arrive in Nigeria? 0700-993-993-993. If you're a woman, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. That's for if you are a woman. And then if you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp available. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling us. Hello? Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3.
Hello?
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Titi.
Welcome, Titi. Have you signed up to take your vaccine?
Not yet, but I'm definitely going to do it today.
Okay.
Yes, it's very important to take the vaccine because as a survivor of COVID, like, this is something that I've been looking forward to. I would not like to have the virus again.
Oh, you survived COVID?
Yeah.
Tell me your experience.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a sickler.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about how it affects people that have sickle cell.
Exactly. The thing about COVID is it breaks your immunity. So it was easy for me to have other things happening to me. And I'm also asthmatic. So I had my asthma attack. I had a crisis. I had to actually go to the isolation center. It wasn't funny. Like, seriously, it just kept breaking my immunity. So other things kept creeping in.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry you experienced that. But I'm also grateful that you survived it.
Yes, I did. And I'm happy about that. So I'm looking forward to taking the vaccine.
So how do you feel when people around you continue to say things like, oh, it's not real, oh, it's a hoax?
I've made it my job to educate people and let them understand that I'm a survivor. I'm someone that it has happened to personally. It makes me feel bad when people don't believe. But there are some people that no matter what you show them, let them see it, they will still not believe. I mean, at the isolation center, I watched two people die of this virus.
Oh, no.
I watched them take their last breath because of this virus. So it makes it hard when someone comes and tells me, I don't believe it. It's just silly to me. But hey, you believe what you want to believe. But it's very real. I've seen it. It's happened to me. I've seen people die of it. And I hope not to get it again. So I'm going to get the vaccine.
Well, hopefully you are also priority once they start to share it. But thank you so much, Titi, for calling and sharing your story with me.
Thank you, Sandra.
All right, bye. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Alexander. Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Have you registered or will you register?
I've already registered.
Okay.
I'm not a spring chicken.
I'm not a spring chicken.
I have to register.
Okay.
I'm not my daughter's age, baby. I'm still okay. I'm young. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm in between.
Okay.
So I've registered. I registered about 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
It's quite easy and simple, apart from the part where you have to upload your photograph. Just in case you're not using a smartphone, how will you do that?
How will you do that, yeah. But you can register for someone, you know. So if you don't use a smartphone, you can tell someone, I beg, help me register.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
So maybe they can snap you and then upload.
Yes, hopefully. I don't know when it will be, but maybe in the next 2 months. I don't know. My worry really is the preservation of the vaccine. I just hope the condition is...
Well, the good news we have with some of these ones from Pfizer and AstraZeneca is that storage doesn't need to be very cold like we initially thought, you know. So we may be able to store it right, but at the same time, there's still Niger, so there's also...
Exactly. Yeah. Before you go take water to a vaccine.
My dear, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Thank you so much for calling. Don't forget, Lagos, you can send a message to us via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. That's for WhatsApp. But yes, go ahead and call into the live show, 0700-993-993-993. We have a message from Tony in Victoria Island. Tony says, why sign up again when we have BVN and NIN database? All those are no more valid. I laugh for Niger. Yeah, you have all of those, but you still have to register that you are interested in taking it. I mean, they can't start assigning everybody. What's it called now? They can't start assigning everybody a venue, an appointment time. There are people who don't want to take the vaccine. So this one, now you go use your hand and say, okay, I'd be interested in taking this one. Then you sign up. That's it. It's not, they're not exactly taking your data. They just want to know when you want to take the vaccine, where you want to take the vaccine, what time you want to take the vaccine, and what local government and ward. That's it. We've got Chukwuebuka and Shomolu on the line. Chukwuebuka, how are you?
Sandra, not obviously silly.
Good to have you on the show. Long time no here.
Yeah, Sandra, I've been a lot busy.
Oh, okay. Well, we're glad to have you today.
Me.
We're glad
Sandra,
to have you
I told Joyce earlier.
Okay.
If you know how excited I am, that the vaccines actually arrived. People have been criticizing the government. Mm. They were expecting 1,000, blah, 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 blah. Now about 4 million is here. They are still complaining. I mean, I can't wait to take it. I've registered, and I know I'm going to register so many people around me who don't believe. Yes, it's a matter of choice. So I can't wait. I can't really wait.
Okay, Chukwuebuka says, I can't wait. On WhatsApp, Sam in Satellite Town says, give me the COVID-19 vaccine. In fact, overdose me. I'm not going to say that. Okay, Sam says that when the second batch is in Nigeria, he'll be in the front row. That, in fact, they should give him all the 3.92 million. Sam, I can't say the things that you wrote for me. Now, wow, this is daytime radio. It's not nighttime. I Fash says, I'll come back to Fash's message. But Victor Nijegun says, Sandra, I've been trying to register, but the space for local government and ward doesn't pop up. If I click there, nothing will appear. What could be the problem? Victor, I wish I knew. Maybe reload the page. So try and reload the page and try again and again and see what happens, yeah? Alex and Ikeja, how are you?
Good afternoon, Madam Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
All right, this is Alex. I just want to comment concerning the school adoption.
Okay.
There are so many questions in my mind which I want to ask. I don't even know who to ask and where to get the answers. And I will pass these questions to you. You might be able to help. Number one, the government uses like 2 to 3 buses to convey this student to government house. So how did the bandits now convey this student to the hideout? That's number one question. Number two question, according to the media, according to one of the online newspapers I just read on now, they said they were released around 4 a.m. And who got the calls that this student were who received the calls that this student have been released, that they should go and pick them to social places? And how did the government hurry up to make up all those colored hijab for all of them at the same time? There are so many questions. I don't know the kind of dramas that is happening in the North. And the Northerners, they all refuse to tell us. I really want to know, what is their aim? Why are they even trying to take us for a ride? What is going on in the North? There are so many questions we need an answer, please.
Well, the first answer, how were they transported? Media reports say that they were transported in a bus, a long bus the first time, and then multiple bikes the second time. The Nation reported that they were transported twice, first early in the night and then later in the night multiple bikes transported them.
Even the villagers did not.
Well, you know that the North has very large ungoverned spaces. You know this.
Sorry to interrupt you. Even if they have that kind of wide, nobody to. The school should be a little bit closer to where people live, or is it that the school is inside bush?
A lot of the schools are far away from where people live. A lot of the schools are far away from residential areas. But yes, where were the villagers when this was happening? That's a good question.
That's the question.
We don't have that detail.
Right?
We don't have that
detail. So that's where the media should come in to help us, because we want to know what is happening in the North. I'm so tired of listening to all these things from the North. I'm tired.
Alex, thank you for calling. God's Power from Olodi Apapa says, I believe I contracted COVID during the first wave of it, because it was no coincidence that after the first time I stepped out of my house to defy lockdown protocol, I couldn't smell or perceive anything again. So definitely I will register for this. So he said defy protocol. I'm glad he said it was defy. Somebody here says, Fash says, Sandra, do you really believe the same vaccine that we have will be given to Buhari? I feel sorry for people that will take it. Okay, well, I do really believe that the same vaccine Buhari takes is the same one you will take. But you're entitled to your beliefs, of course. Sandra, how do I sign on for the vaccine registration? Can you help? Yes, I will tell you how after this break. Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
We're back on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
It's 29 minutes past 3. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to The Big 3.
This is The Big 3.
The Big 3.
On the Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
For our first story, I told you that Nigeria finally received our first batch of COVID-19 vaccines today. 3.9 million doses were flown in from the COVAX program. The government officially launched its vaccination program yesterday. The agency in charge is the National Public Healthcare Development Agency. And if you want to sign up, if you want to book your preferred day to get the vaccination, then go to www.nphcdaict.com.ng/public-reg. www.nphcdaict.com.ng/PUBLICREG. And then you can register. All right, then. Now let's move on to our second story. For our second story, quite the one. It's quite the tale. Let's talk about the ongoing attempt to blockade food items coming from north to south. The Amalgamated Union of Food and Cattle Dealers of Nigeria, AUFCDN, are the ones behind the block. They're calling it a strike. And they say that it's in response to several of their members being harassed and attacked in the south. They specifically pointed to the Shasha market clash. In fact, you heard it here on Nigeria Info that AUFCDN said they won't end the blockade until they get 4.7 billion naira. They say that that's the value of the property their members lost at Shasha market. And I want to know what you think about that figure, about that demand, about their means of enforcing it. Now, according to reports, the blockade has already started raising food prices across the southwest and southeast. We've also heard that in Ibadan, the number of cows slaughtered at the central abattoir has dropped from 500 to 150. And generally, there has been condemnation of the blockade in the south. Afenifere has condemned it, Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Niger Delta Elders Forum, PANDEF, they've all condemned it. The Arewa Consultative Forum has also condemned the blockade itself, but it says that it agrees with the grievances behind it. So they condemn the blockade, but they agree with the grievances behind it. Meanwhile, AUFCDN is claiming that the SSS has arrested their president, Comrade Tahir. Even though the SSS has not confirmed or denied this, they've acknowledged that they invited the leadership for questioning and to discuss an end to the blockade. Now, the big question is, what happens if this blockade doesn't end? How will the South adjust? We've seen farmers in the Southwest saying that they're going to fill the gap. You've seen the Agbekoya Farmers Association saying that the region has everything needed to feed itself and the entire country. And now is the time for the state governments to invest in mechanized farming. We've also seen various people advocate a switch from beef to other forms of meat like goat, chicken, pork, fish. Now, of course, cost is a big consideration for some of those. Now, in terms of the AUFCDN's action and demands, opinions are split. Some people are saying that they have a legitimate grievance and they should be heard. Other people are saying that what they've done is the same thing as holding the country hostage or attempting to starve one section of the country. And so nobody should negotiate with them. What do you think? Then there's another question. Is this blockade as effective as AUFCDN thinks it is? Will it affect the people that they think it will affect? So, for example, let's look at tomatoes. Tomatoes are grown mostly in the north. Remember, in the past, when we spoke with Mira Mehta, the CEO of Tomato Joss in Kaduna, tomatoes are grown up north and they are sent south. But now, AUFCDN is turning the trucks full of tomatoes back what happens to the tomatoes? If they cannot buy all of them in the north, they will go bad. What happens to the farmer and the transporter? They're going to lose money. So as you can see, people in both the north and the south are losing money from this blockade. The big question is, who ego pain pass? 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about this blockade? What do you think about AUFCDN's reasons for it? Do you think that the affected states in the South will adjust or find alternatives? How do you think it's affecting farmers and transporters in the North? Because let's not forget that while the blockade is going on, more and more farmers and more transporters are sending their goods down south and then meeting the blockade on the road. So apparently they're not getting the memo. They're still sending their goods down south. Joseph in Apapa, hello. Thank you for calling us.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
Yeah. I have been thinking about what is being done by these people blocking those things coming down south.
Mm-hmm.
And it will affect everybody. What is going to happen is that some people will smuggle those things down to Benin Republic, Cameroon, Niger, Chad. And I can bet you the South has the population. Those things will still find their way back to the South.
Okay.
It has happened before. And the North should not feel that everything being eaten in the South is coming from their side. There are things that are good here, but usually you prefer certain quality of a particular product. So, and now, if they think out, that is, look at the implication of what they are doing, it will be too grievous for this nation to bear. One, they are likely to lose all those things. They are likely, especially the things like tomato, pepper, and all that. Maybe yam. Some of the yam may not be spoiled. By the end of the day, it will become so cheap in the north, and the population will not be able to buy all those things. So it's like cutting your nose to spite your face. And at the end of the day, the damage they will do to the unity of this nation will be totally irreparable. But it's a wake-up call to the south to also wake up and do something. Like a George Dam, had it been put to use, they would have been able to grow all these items there. But you know, irrigation policy of the federal government also favored the north because of the land. So if they are looking at it from that angle, VAT is earned in the south, the north share it, crude oil came from the south, did not share out of it. Why should they look at it that it's only about food alone? It's beyond that. I think they are just being selfish. That's just the way I look at it.
All right, then. Thank you very much for calling and sharing your thoughts with us. We appreciate it. 0700-993-993-993. And then we've got 01465-7190. 99.3, hello?
Hello.
Thank you for calling us. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Izieda from Epicemeca.
Welcome, Izieda.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Welcome.
You.
Go ahead.
Please, what I really want to ask is, if other regions in this country, if these other regions in this country continue or acting the way the North are acting, is there going to be anything called Nigeria in this country? The way they are acting, the way they are behaving, if other regions, if Yorubas, if people, if they started acting in this way and manner, there is nothing called Nigeria that Nigeria will never hold. So their own leaders should talk to them in the language they will understand. We are really tired of them. If they don't want to be Nigerians more, they should just evacuate, they should just delete from this country so that we have peace.
Izieda, thank you very much for calling. We've got messages on WhatsApp. Let's take a look at some of them. Sandra, I won just a minute on your show on Monday. I've not received my money. All right, Samuel, you're going to get a call from us. Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. Let's take a look at other messages that we have. Charles says, it appears to be the beginning of the very unusual. While it is a good development, because at least it would help each region to start doing something, I simply suggest that each section should convert whatever they produce to a means of export or import. So if we want northern foodstuff in the south, we import. If they want what we have, we export. Simple. All right. Thank you for your message, Charles. On this issue of blockade by the northern food dealers, for me, it's time to ensure self-sufficiency in food and animal production. Truly, the country is in dire straits on many fronts. Beyond the casual statements, the country needs a massive jolt to start moving again. Reality beckons, and it is time to rise up to the new reality. State governments have a responsibility to aggressively pursue food production, to provide employment, food self-sufficiency. This is day 5 of the blockade, but what does it represent? Chukwudi Urakpa. All right, Chukwudi, thank you very much for your message. Speaking of state governments, the Lagos state government has mentioned that they are on the matter as far as this blockade is concerned. The governor says that they have plans to end the food crisis caused by this blockade of food. We had the Lagos Commissioner of Information, Gwenga Omotosho, speaking on the matter. And he said that the governor is on top of the situation. Let's come back to the phone lines now. 99.3.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
I'm George.
Hi, George.
Sandra. Good. Let's call a spade a spade. When we begin to see ourselves as God, then humanity is eroded.
Okay.
Hello?
I'm here. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Humanity is eroded because when one region feel they are the God of other Nigerians, it's never right. And then they should know that they cannot kidnap the South.
But what about their reasons? Are their reasons not valid?
It's not valid. Have you forgotten in the past how they've killed Southerners and Southerners never requested for compensation just on the space of religion? Killed innocent Southerners, destroyed their properties. If you ask the Easterners, he who feels it knows it, my dear. They cannot kidnap the South. If they have finished kidnapping themselves and they need money, and the government is now wise that they are doing it intentionally, we are not going to succumb to their ransom. Okay? They cannot kidnap the South. Good afternoon. God bless you.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
This is Leke from Kagan.
Welcome.
Okay. I want to talk about school sources or not.
You want to talk about
the food sources that I'm talking about?
Okay, yes, please go ahead.
Okay, for me, it's the conclusion that the main reason for now it is not about the first industry, because all this thing fall about leadership, because is that. They are dead the issue even for the onset. Because if you look at it now, the national government tries to keep it.
Your line is breaking up, Leko. Maybe call us back. We've got James in Ikeja. Hello, James. James, hello. Oh, James is not there anymore. James, if you can, please call back. We've got another message here. Prince says, it's funny that everyone is blaming the North, but not our elective leaders in the South for the underdevelopment in the South. Even the Northerners are not calling to speak from their side. Are the Northerners the problem of failed governance in the South? Prince, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, to tell you that this kidnapping, banditry and terrorism is definitely with the knowledge of the northern leaders and elites is just me being minimal with the truth. The simple fact is that the South has refused to be held down by some conniving leaders. That's the reason for this disaster. Guess what? There's a food blockade going on right now. They resorted to trying to stop food coming down south. Watch what happens in the next few days. Very unfortunate. Ayodeji sent that message in. Okay, we've got Festus in Ikorodu who says that the North is the biggest loser in this juvenile blockade idea. The region that is presently the most insecure is tethering towards implosion with this myopic protest. Sandra, their reasons are as invalid as a newspaper used for suya. Let them continue the hazardous blockage. They only end up shooting themselves in the foot. In 2021, their tool to fight economic war is tomatoes and yam and cattle. Festus, very strong words. Okay, Lagos. The next 45 minutes is brought to you courtesy UNICAF. UNICAF is one of the world's leading educational agencies. I'll tell you more about them after we speak with Elvira. Elvira is in Yaba. Elvira, welcome. Hello, Elvira.
Hello.
Thanks for calling us. Hello. Oh, no. I don't think the connection with Elvira is going great. But yes, let me tell you that UNICAF is a leading global education organization. They're based in Europe and they provide scholarships for online education. So you can stay here in Nigeria and study online with one of their partner schools like the University of Suffolk, the Liverpool John Moores University, the University of East London, the University of California, or you can, take a look at all the other offerings that they have on the table. Now, of course, this is for those of you who are worried about sending your wards to school here in Nigeria and being unsure whether they'll be abducted or not. That's because our final story on the Big Three today is the release of the girls who were abducted in the North. Let's listen to our sponsors, come back, and I'll tell you about this story.
Now is the time to advance your career with an internationally recognized degree and at a fraction of the cost with a UNICAF scholarship. Study online using any electronic device connected to UNICAF's state-of-the-art digital platform. And as you learn, keep your job and salary, study in your free time. Study online with one of UNICAF's partners in the UK, Liverpool John Moores University, the University of East London, or the University of Suffolk, and earn exactly the same master's degree as on-campus students in the UK. Or choose to study online with UNICAF University, accredited locally by the British Accreditation Council in the UK. Over $100 million worth of UNICAF scholarship have transformed more than 30,000 lives in 158 countries. You could be the next UNICAF scholar. Call 07000-111-000 to find out how. I repeat, 07000-111-000.
All right. And then let me tell you, of course, that good news came out of Zamfara State this morning. Most of the Jengebe girls are free. Early this morning, the state government confirmed that 279 of them have been released after negotiations with their kidnappers. Remember that our first reports were that over 300 girls were abducted. But we've also heard that some escaped. So we're still trying to get confirmation about whether those escapees account completely for the discrepancy in numbers or whether some girls are still being held captive. More on that when we get the information. But there are lots of questions, of course, like one of the callers called in earlier on was sharing with me. There are lots of questions about the rise in school kidnappings, the ability of bandits to operate almost unchecked, and how they should be handled. Ahmed Lawan has weighed in. He's the Senate president. And he was talking to the new service chiefs. And he told them that one of their KPIs will be the elimination of banditry. Because according to Lawan, the situation has gotten so out of hand that people are now seeing banditry as easy business with easy money. He said, quote, "A situation whereby a group of people will go to a school and take over 300 students away on motorcycles is not acceptable. Kidnapping without a trace is not acceptable. Something has to be done because apparently this is becoming an industry. Some people are benefiting from this and we have to unravel who these people are and fight bandits and insurgents until we rescue our country." End quote. So he's not mincing words. Lawan is not mincing words. He's saying the government needs to root out the people behind this banditry while fighting the bandits. What do you think about he's saying that it has become an industry? What do you think about that? Now, like I said, the government has said that the girls were released after negotiations, but yet again, they've not said what was asked or what was given in those negotiations. The bandits willingly released the girls, and many Nigerians, while relieved, want to know why. What did the bandits hear or receive that made them willing to let these 279 girls go? Now, this is a key question because we seem to be seeing a pattern. So far, we haven't seen a rescue of kidnapped students by military or police action. No tactical strikes, just after negotiation release. So a lot of Nigerians are saying, as citizens, we have a right to know what, if anything, these state governments are giving to these bandits or agreeing on with them. What do you think? What do you say? Do you agree? 0700-993-993-993. Should the terms of negotiation be made public? Do you think they should? What do you think about Lawan's comment that this has become an industry? 01465-7190. That's our number for female callers. We've got Helen on the line. Helen is in Ilesha. Hello, Helen. Thanks for calling us.
Helen Sandra. Good afternoon. My name is Helen.
Yes.
I'm calling from Ilesha.
Welcome. Go ahead.
I don't know how long we are going to continue like this. I believe what is going on is a business between the state government. I've not gotten any facts, but I'm just saying it.
Okay.
Every time we hear of kidnapping of students, they will go and negotiate and they will release them. How long are we going to continue like this? How long? We are not even safe in our own country. Our children are not safe. You send them to school, they'll be kidnapped, they'll go through all types of trauma. How long would the government continue to negotiate with the bandits? I believe it's a business transaction between them. My thought, though.
All right, Helen.
And I'm talking about the vaccine. The vaccine, how sure are we, even if the president and the vice president will come to television to show us they've taken the vaccine, how sure are we? We are having issue of trust between ourselves. Are we sure it is the same vaccine that is given to the government personnel that will be given to us, the masses? Sandra,
what if you
Nigeria,
saw me take
we are
it?
Scared of it?
If you see me take it, would that make you trust it?
If I see you taking it, I will still have the issue of not being, because I don't know if it is the same one you're taking that they will give to me. Yes.
Helen.
Yeah.
But there's only one vaccine, and the makers of the vaccine don't want any scandal. So it's technically not even in the hands of the government.
What you see inside that thing might not be the same thing that will be given to us. Have you forgotten? You go to the market to buy palm oil. It is the same content. Is it the same content when you get to the house to cook it? My sister, trust in Nigeria is giving us issues.
All right, Helen, thank you very much for calling. Sam in Mowe, hello.
Hello, Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for
Good
calling.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. The Spanish president, we have not been hearing this for the first time, but what is happening now is that we Nigerians, we want to see that what they are saying, they are putting it into action. One agency of the government will be saying one thing, another one will be saying. Is it not like Mohammed who told us that kidnapping all over the country, all over the world? Then another one is saying that it's not acceptable. Which one do we believe? Let us see what they will do, whether they will put it into action.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We've got Ajulu Charles, who says, I heard DSS is having a talk with the people who are causing economic sabotage and starvation. It's cool, but if it were in the South, I'm very sure same security would have gone down one or two persons trying to stop the vehicle. Ajulu Charles, thanks for your message. We've got Emmanuel Oguche, who says, what baffles me is the way they call money. $4.7 billion? Was it Kano Metropole that was destroyed? Our debate on this matter, as far as I know, is an effort in futility. If the presidency does not give them openly, they will give it secretly. That's how they spend our money. That's a message on Twitter, courtesy Emmanuel Oguche. Let's take another message from our sponsors, UNICAF Nigeria. If you're looking to school abroad, they are the people who could help you get a degree online for as affordably as possible. And the degree you get will be the same as the degree that you would have gotten if you had gone over there and sat in a classroom. But this way, you're saving cost on accommodation, feeding, transportation, things like that. You're just paying tuition. So let's listen again to UNICAF and what they have to say.
Now is the time to advance your career with an internationally recognized degree and at a fraction of the cost with a UNICAF scholarship. Study online using any electronic device connected to UNICAF's state-of-the-art digital platform. And as you learn, keep your job and salary, study in your free time. Study online with one of UNICAF's partners in the UK, Liverpool John Moores University, the University of East London, or the University of Suffolk, and earn exactly the same master's degree as on-campus students in the UK. Or choose to study online with UNICAF University, accredited locally by the British Accreditation Council in the UK. Over $100 million worth of UNICAF scholarship have transformed more than 30,000 lives in 158 countries. You could be the next UNICAF scholar. Call 07000-111-000 to find out how. I repeat, 07000-111-000.
All right, we've got messages on Twitter from AB for Life. She says, Lawan has said the truth. It's a big industry where you make big money. AB for Life also says, which one is attempt? Sandra, they've done it already. Go to mile 12 market. Nothing is there. All right. Adams says they better continue that blockade. They should not stop, or they should continue, because when the South have consolidated in getting alternatives for foodstuff, then the fuel should also stop going to the North. All right, we've got John who says food should move to the South so that hunger will not finish people. All right, John Wachiku, thank you very much for your message. We've got more people who are sending us messages here on Twitter, but let me go to WhatsApp very quickly because you have lots of messages there. Let's remind Ahmed Lawan, the Senate president, that the service chiefs were not elected by the people to represent them, but handpicked by the president according to his desire. The buck stops at the table of the president. If the service chiefs fail, impeach Buhari. It's that simple. All right. You didn't leave your name, though, but thank you very much for your message. We've got more messages here. Hard facts. Sandra, kidnapping in the North is a booming business. I can tell you that before another 2 weeks, they'll strike again. This is because government is paying. As for the vaccine, my fear is that whatever comes into Nigeria can never be the same. Dubeze from Ojo Dubeze says. But I don't know why you guys have that fear. I don't know where that fear comes from. But it's not a fear that I share. And that's why I quickly signed up. That's why I quickly signed my mom up, my mother-in-law up, my husband up. You know? We've got another message here. Nigeria baffles any sane mind. We have a situation where governors in the North and religious leaders compete to issue what seems like already prepared statements and assurances of safe return of kidnapped captives. That's why, for me, I wouldn't doubt those who feel it has become a lucrative industry. In saner climes, the police is supposed to issue statements on kidnap, rescue efforts and negotiations, if any. But what we have at the moment is just bizarre and unthinkable. I am tired, Sandra. Festus from Ikorodu says. All right, let's see another message. We've got lots of messages. My God. Kehinde from Ijogun says that it's a good move by the Northerners to stop bringing food to the South. Let all our Southwest governors come together to allocate a land in every state for farming, which can sustain all of the Southwest and Africa at large. Farming is the way to go. No goods from the South should be sent to the North. This is indirect restructuring. This threat is an insult. Okay, people are not smiling. We've got more messages coming in. Sandra, let the blockade continue. We in the South will survive. Let them continue. We've got that message from Stephen. Stephen is in Igondo. All right, Stephen. Thank you very much for your message. Now, before we wrap, let me tell you, of course, that the last 15 minutes of this show was sponsored by UNICAF. UNICAF is a global agency, global education organization based in Europe. And UNICAF serves as an advisor if you want to get a foreign degree online through them. Once you sign up, they'll assign you a course advisor. The course advisor will help you with the admissions process. Even after you get admission, the advisor will not free you. She's going to keep working with you throughout the course to help you stay on track. So that way, it's easier for you to juggle your day-to-day work life here in Nigeria while you're doing your online course. And remember, by the end, you're going to have the same degree as the people who went physically to that foreign school. You can get a bachelor's, you can get a master's, you can get a PhD. It's very straightforward. Now, if you want to find out more, call their Lagos office on 07000-111-000. 07000-111-000. Let's bring you business news. After the business news, we'll talk with Chikudi Izugu, who's out in the field today. At 5 o'clock, I have a conversation coming up with Ajirin Gilali, the president's special assistant on public affairs. He'll be talking to us about concessions. Lots of Nigerian assets are being concessioned. Let's talk about what that will entail, how that benefits us, how that benefits you, and how exactly it's going to work. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away, Lagos.